Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to visit with our Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America and check in with the Minnesota Navy League. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Memorial Day is often referred to as the unofficial start of summer. More importantly, it is our nation's day to remember the brave men and women who gave their lives to ensure freedom for all Americans. It is easy to lose sight of those sacrifices as we're gathering with family and friends or fishing at the lake. Nevertheless, it is important we take time to reflect on these noble service members. I'm reminded of a memorial at Gettysburg recognizing the first Minnesota's historic sacrifice during our Civil War. On it, the inscription reads, "These dead shall not have died in vain. All time is a millennium of their glory." Please join us in this Memorial Day in remembering and honoring the fallen from all branches of our nation's military.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk today to the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of Minnesota. Joining me now is our Marine, Todd Kemery, who is the president of the Minnesota PVA. Todd, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and certainly a pleasure to be here.
Todd, we just heard a message from the Adjutant General about Memorial Day, and this show will be live on Twin Cities News Talk AM 1130 from 6 to 9 a.m. on Memorial Day. Is there someone or something special you think about on Memorial Day, Todd?
Well, I come from a military family. My mother served in the Navy as a Navy nurse, and my father was a Marine, and my brother is Air Force, and I think of my immediate family during this time. And also, since I do a lot of work with veterans, paralyzed veterans, I also think back on the past paralyzed veterans that I've known and had to have been good friends and have now passed on. So it's appropriate that that we have Memorial Day and have those remembrances, because that's what I certainly do.
Yes, sir. I'm with you on that one. Now, we don't usually talk too much about this, but can you tell me, Paralyzed Veterans of America, Minnesota chapter, how many members do you have, and what's your mission?
So primarily, at any given time, we have 340 to 350 Minnesota members. And basically, we have our job at Paralyzed Veterans of America, the Minnesota chapter, is to make sure that our membership not only is able to receive their benefits through our service officers, but if there's issues at home that need to have some financial assistance, then we also do that. We're really geared towards sports and recreation and activities. We feel that is, and that's been part of our history, to get people off the couch and out and doing things. So we have several different mandated programs that we do, and it's all for the benefit of our chapter members.
Now, Todd, an eligible veteran to join the Minnesota PVA, is that simply a veteran who happens to be paralyzed in some way, or did they have to be hurt in the line of duty?
So we take service connected and also non-service connected, which is active duty injuries or injuries after you get out. And primarily our threshold is a spinal cord injury or a spinal cord disorder. MS, Alzheimer's is one of the two that come to mind. And then anything that has to deal with the spinal cord as far as disorders or disease, we include that also. Of course, there's the quadriplegic, and the paraplegic that is a spinal cord injury, and primarily that's what our membership is made up from.
And you maintain an office at the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, and right across from is that the spinal cord treatment center?
It's right in the SCI Center. Our office is right there. What we are across the hallway from is physical therapy and occupational therapy, and quite frankly, we get a chance to see in real time some of the newly injured veterans that come in there, and so we we utilize that, and we have a close working relationship with the therapy departments because of where we're located at.
Very good, sir. We're talking to Todd Kemery, the president of the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America of Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Todd, I understand you've got some chapter elections coming up.
We do. Now our elections aren't until July, but we've already started the process of sending out notices and nominations and you know the beginnings of the election process. So. We'll be pretty busy here quite shortly with the whole election process that we go through.
And I'm sure you're always looking for members to step up and help, and probably looking for some volunteers from time to time as well.
Absolutely, we can't do what we do unless we have our volunteers and we have programs and for people that wish to be part of our volunteer program. We encourage that wholeheartedly.
Todd, I want to get into some of these sporting events. I understand the association, your chapter, has some Twins tickets available for members.
So, yes, one of the things that we've been able to do is we are season ticket holders of the Twins, the Wild, and also the Vikings. So we provide our tickets, season tickets, to our members just for the asking. And that's just one of the many programs that we have that we want to be able to help our membership get out and about.
Very good. And I understand you have a trap shoot event coming up on July 24th.
Thank you, Tom, for mentioning that. Yes. Up in Nisswa at the Lakeview Conservative Club from 10 to 4 p.m., we are having our annual trap shoot and fundraiser. So we encourage anybody that's in the area or even statewide, if you want to make the trip and have a good weekend and to help out and have some fun, we encourage everybody to come.
And a little later in the year, I think it's August, you've got your fishing event.
We will, up at Ely on Veterans on the Lake. Now, that's a collaborative effort between the Iowa chapter and the Wisconsin chapter, and the Minnesota chapter get together, and roughly anywhere from 15 to 20 paralyzed veterans, we go up there with families and pretty much take over the whole camp up there and spend a week having a great old time fishing and collaborating and, you know, all that camaraderie that goes along with that.
And Todd, later in the fall, do you and your members, I think you work with the Disabled American Veterans on some hunting events up at Camp Ripley?
Absolutely. One of our favorite outdoor activities is not only the deer hunt up at Ripley, but the spring turkey hunt. And next weekend, I'll be up in Camp Ripley doing the trolling for troops. So, we try to utilize all the possibilities or the events out there and get our membership involved with that. And Camp Ripley is a great place to get our veterans involved with that.
It's good to see you get everybody outside from time to time. And I'm looking at your newsletter, and something surprised me there, and it says that you're the featured guest speaker talking about scuba diving. Marine, do you do some of that?
I've got 55 dives under my belt, Tom. And it's one of my latest passions. Now, of course, COVID kind of interfered with a couple of things. But now that we're getting back to doing things outdoors, I'll be going back to scuba diving. So, yes, it's a great activity, especially if you're disabled or have paralysis. Just the whole process of getting in the water and diving and coming back, it really is a great way to relieve a lot of stress and pain.
And a little freedom from the chair for a short while you're diving in the water. I bet that feels great.
Absolutely. And again, that's, you know, I don't dive by myself. That would be very bad. But I have a dive buddy that helps me. And there again, there's that camaraderie that comes about when you use a volunteer. And my volunteers that help us in our diving are primarily a lot of veterans and also employees that are veterans of the VA. So we've got a wonderful program up here in Minnesota.
Sounds great, Todd. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with Todd Kemmery, the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America president. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Oh, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, and specifically to Todd Kemmery, who I've known for years was a Marine, but really didn't see him as a scuba diver. And Todd, you say 55 dives you've already gone on, and you have a dive partner. That must be, you must really look forward to that.
I do. You know, COVID stopped a lot of activities, especially with people. But this is one of those things that really is a passion of mine, and I plan on continuing as soon as the Cayman Islands allow Americans back into their country. That's where I'm headed to first. That's one of the best diving places and it's wheelchair accessible. So I'm waiting anxiously, and hopefully by the end of summer I'll be able to do that.
Well, we hope you are able to do that, and next time you go, take some pictures. We'll post them on the radio site so people can see it. Todd, one of the things that you've done for the last two years is you've chaired the Commander's Task Force. Can you explain to our listeners what the Commander's Task Force is?
Sure, absolutely, Tom. It's been my pleasure for the past 2 years to chair the Commander's Task Force, Minnesota Commander's Task Force, the proper name for that. But it is 9 congressionally chartered veterans organizations here in Minnesota, the VFW, the American Legion, DAV, the Disabled American Veterans, of course, PVA, the AMVETS, American Veterans Association, Vietnam Veterans of America, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, and the Jewish War Veterans, all make up the 9 organizations, veterans organizations, and primarily we do legislative efforts.
And one of the things we talk about every year with the CTF chair and with you the last couple of years is Veterans Day on the Hill, and the Minnesota Commander's Task Force, you puts together legislative priorities, and we had a whole list of those we went over, but I want to just get an update. The legislature's finished. They have to come back and pass some bills. Can you tell us what is the current status of the personal care attendant PCA reform bill?
Sure, absolutely. So right now, the PCA program serves over 44,000 disabled people here in the state of Minnesota. It's the longest running cost-effective program in that category. And quite frankly, the legislative efforts have been for the past 2 or 3 years is the need for adequate reimbursement and coupled with fair wages. And so the language and the efforts and the support that we've been getting from the House and the Senate has all come together, and now everybody is waiting for that special session, but we're hopeful and encouraged that it's made the PCA Reform Act has made it, and hopefully will stay intact once they get past the special session, which basically starts here pretty soon.
And Todd, during the pandemic, everything is more difficult than usual, but I'm guessing to find some good personal care attendants to come help has been a real struggle, hasn't it?
It has been. The wages before COVID were just barely, I mean, you could make, and this is literally the truth on this, you could make more at a McDonald's on their hourly wage than you could as a PCA care attendant. Now, with COVID, there was a lot of supplemental help for hourly wage people, and quite frankly, people were being paid more not to be a PCA. So now that COVID is over with, we want to be able to go back to more people and pay them a adequate wage to be a personal care attendant.
Very important item, especially for your members. And I'd recommend that all of our listeners get on the phone to their state elected officials and talk to them about making sure the personal care attendant PCA reform bill is passed. We're speaking with Todd Kemmery, who is the president of the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, on Minnesota Military Radio. And Todd, the second bill that we want to look at, can you tell us what this is and what the current status is of the Veterans Restorative Justice Act?
Absolutely, Tom. This one is has been part of the legislative scene for the past 5 years. CTF became, the Commander's Task Force became involved with it over the past 2 years, and added our legislative help as we wanted to be able to support that original VRJA. Quite frankly, what we wanted was to, we wanted legislation here in Minnesota to model the wording and the legislative act itself to be current with the national legislative model that's out there right now. And we think we have done that. Finally, we've got the language between the House and the Senate side reconciled. And after several tries over the past couple of years, we're now at a position where hopefully that will stay intact through this special session. And at the back end of that, the governor has already said that he'll sign VRJA into law. So we're looking forward to that.
Now, Todd, I think it's important to point out that this isn't any kind of a free pass for veterans. It's an opportunity for them to work their way through some issues and come out on the other end in good shape. But they have to earn it.
Absolutely, Tom. It's something that is new, and it has a connecting thread through several other initiatives here in the state of Minnesota that veterans are in need. And that's ending veterans' homelessness, suicide prevention, PTSD treatment, and also the latest has been revealed to us, more vet centers to help with all of this as a combined effort. The VRJA is one of those mechanisms that is a treatment process. The veteran who elects to go into that, he, even though he may serve the time for the offense that he's been sentenced to, if he hasn't completed the treatment part of the Veterans Restorative Justice Act program, then he has to stay there. If he doesn't, or if she doesn't, if the veteran chooses to leave, then all of that VRJA benefits that have been accrued while going through the program, if he decides to stop that, then he will go back to and be prosecuted for whatever the infractions are that he's done. So it's one of those things that it isn't just a one and you're done. It's a all-encompassing, and the treatment part of it is until you are past the goals of whatever particular treatment is needed at the time.
Todd, I'd just like to point out to the listeners that you are the president of the Minnesota Paralyzed Veterans of America, and you are confined to a wheelchair, and you did accept the task of being the CTF chair over the last 2 years, and you spent a lot of time over at the Capitol testifying. You put in all kinds of additional effort. I'd just like to salute you for taking on that job for the last 2 years. It's heartwarming to see how hard you've worked on behalf of all veterans as CTF chair.
Tom, I appreciate that, but I got to tell you that I wouldn't have been able to do it without the help of the legislative, my legislative brothers and sisters from the CTF. We worked together on a lot of this, and yes, I may be the chair, but there were many more people that were much more articulate about the program and could actually, and working together with quality people like that really knew the system well, was an honor and a pleasure. And my time as CTF chair has been very rewarding. It will stay with me, and the friendships that I've forged and the relationships between our veteran service organizations is very satisfying. I have brothers and sisters now that are all part of other service organizations, and I think that's a huge plus for me personally.
Todd, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us again on Minnesota Military Radio, and I look forward to future updates on the Minnesota chapter of the Paralyzed Veterans of America. Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you, Tom. I certainly do appreciate it.
Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to check in with the Minnesota Navy League. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with the Minnesota Navy League. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Memorial Day is a time to honor the memory and service of all of our military members who have given their lives in service of this country. No greater sacrifice could ever be asked of an individual. The service of these veterans has impacted the lives of every single citizen of this great nation. It is for that sacrifice that I salute my fallen comrades. Across the generations and across the centuries, Americans have answered the call to duty, and many have paid the ultimate price. We can't even begin to contemplate the world today had men and women we honor on Memorial Day not stood fast against our enemies throughout history. It is never over. Missions may end, but legacies left and the pain of their absence endures. This Memorial Day, let us remember, all gave some, and some gave all.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaRadio.com. Joining me now is our guest host today, who is retired Command Sergeant Major from the Minnesota National Guard, Doug Wortham. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's always great to be with you.
Doug, we lined up a real interesting interview today with the Minnesota Navy League, so please take it away.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks, Tom. And joining me now is Brian Scon. He's the Vice President for Events from the Minnesota Navy League and Chair of the Commissioning Committee for the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul LCS-21. Welcome back to the show, Brian.
Thank you. Thanks once again for hosting me. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, and we do want to get into an update of the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul. But before we do that, for those that might not be familiar with what the Navy League of Minnesota is, could you provide for us what the Navy League of Minnesota is and how it kind of fits in with the Navy community here in Minnesota?
The Minnesota Navy League is a nonprofit. It's an all-volunteer nonprofit that supports the active duty Navy, our reservists, our Coast Guard communities. We adopt the ships of USS Minnesota, USS Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Alder in Duluth, as well as the Navy Operations Support Center here in the Twin Cities, as well as the Navy Recruiting District. Those are adopted units of ours. We also include our Naval Sea Cadet program. That's how active we are. So we continue to lobby, support, subsidize, fundraise, and do lots of activities that supports the Navy community here in the Twin Cities. We are part of the larger organization that's headquartered in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. And we'll spend some time talking about the USS Minnesota in a little bit. But what I do want to do is get an update from you on the USS Minneapolis, St. Paul. Now, this is an LCS-21 Freedom class. What is an LCS-21? And tell us a little bit about this ship.
Oh, the Minneapolis-St. Paul is a littoral combat ship, and littoral means near shore. So it's about a 4,000-ton, 400-foot-long jet boat. And it's a surface ship that's built in Marinette, Wisconsin, at Fincantieri Marinette Marine Shipyard. And the crew is about 75 to 80. It also has what we call a blue-gold crew, so they swap out. So the total crew, I just learned, is actually about 120. About half of them's on the blue crew, half of it's on the gold crew. And they will take it out eventually when we commission it in shifts. So we'll get a lot of underway time with these two crews assigned to it.
So we're talking about the USS Minneapolis-St. Paul here with Brian Skahn on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, I understand that there's a lot that goes into bringing a ship to life. And I've heard things like authentication ceremony, a christening ceremony, a commissioning. What is all that stuff, and what does it take to actually bring a ship to life?
Well, and I appreciate that. There are three ceremonies you've identified that bring a ship into the U.S. Navy. The first one is the keel authentication ceremony, and that happened in 2018 in February. The second one was the christening, where we actually launched the ship into the river. It was a sideways launch. It's the only Navy warship that does that. It's quite an impressive visual. And then the third ship, which actually becomes a member of the battle force of the United States Navy, and it's counted towards that total of our commissioned ships, is the commissioning ceremony. That will happen. We actually don't have a date. That has been delayed, but that is the ceremony where the Navy gives its United States ship designation.
And the commissioning ceremony was supposed to have already taken place. As you mentioned, it was delayed. Can you tell us why the commissioning was delayed?
Oh, sure. The Navy has what they call a class defect. It's analogous to a recall. And the best I can bring it forward here on this broadcast, they call it a class issue. And it had to do, there are two different types of engines on the warship. One is a gas turbine, one's a diesel, and there's a combining gear that's had a problem. Now, to be clear, Minneapolis-St. Paul is complete. It itself does not have the problem, but three ships that have been built previously have had that issue. And due to that, the Navy stopped accepting ships. What's interesting, it was the Minneapolis-St. Paul was the ship they didn't accept. So Minneapolis-St. Paul right now is complete. It's ready to be delivered, but they won't accept it until that class defect, that combining gear, they call it, has been fixed. Last I heard, they're continuing to test the part, and that part, once it's been certified, it will be installed on Minneapolis-St. Paul as the first ship for that fix, and then we'll move towards commissioning and we'll move towards a date. At this point, without that fix being completed, they won't assign a date for the commissioning ceremony.
And is it still the intent to try to have that commissioning done right here in Minnesota?
That actually is a great question. That will not change, meaning the city of Duluth has been designated as the port where it will commission. We just don't have a date when it will happen. That has not changed. And so that's great news. The Navy is still committed to doing it here. What's beautiful about that event, it will be the first time in our state's history that a U.S. Navy warship will be commissioned in the state of Minnesota. And we believe that will make this all that more special.
And so I imagine then that there's still planning that's going along in order to have this commissioning ceremony. Also that you're deeply involved with that. And are you still trying to raise funds to cover expenses for that commissioning ceremony when it happens?
Yeah, we're at about one third of our need. We've raised over $100,000 to this point. And we're still going to target over an additional $200,000. And basically that pays for the expenses of the commissioning. The beautiful thing again about us raising funds is we're all volunteers. So 100% of any donated dollars goes to the event, goes to the ship, goes to the crew. And so again, it's 100% as an all volunteer committee.
Yeah, that's excellent. It's great news that the port is still going to stay in Minnesota up in Duluth, as you mentioned. And I'm really looking forward to when that commissioning ceremony happens, as are you. And hopefully we're able to be a part of that ceremony and witness that historic event when it happens. We have to take a short break now.
Can I interject one more detail?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. I do have news. We will have up to 24 sailors from the existing crew of USS Minneapolis-St. Paul at the Duluth Air Show June 26th and 27th, just 1 month from now. I just got off the phone with the crew, with the operations officers yet this morning, and we are committing to a large group of sailors to come up and promote the ship, the Navy, the Port of Duluth, that's as the commissioning location. We're partnering with the United States Navy Blue Angels and the local Navy recruiting district. So it's
great news.
It's great to have them up.
Yeah, thanks for that, Brian. We do have to take a short break, but we will be back with more on the Minnesota Navy League. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your guest host, Doug Wortham, and we're talking today with Brian Skahn, the VP for Events from the Minnesota Navy League. Now, Brian, I've been educated that we can call, or it's okay to call, a submarine a boat. And that leads me into our next topic, which is about the USS Minnesota, which is a submarine or as a boat. Tell us a little bit about the USS Minnesota and what its status is right now.
I'm happy to do that. USS Minnesota commissioned into the U.S. Navy in 2013. I was the co-chair of that effort with a Navy veteran, Navy retired commander Dave Hutton. And since that time, we have maintained a strong, very close relationship with USS Minnesota and the crew. I do have some updates. In September of last year, 2020, the fourth commanding officer took command. The change of command took place in Groton, Connecticut, near the Navy base. And his name is Commander Brad Bozen. And I have not had the opportunity to meet him physically, but we have spoken. And we also have a new chief of the boat and a new executive officer that all came on board last year. USS Minnesota is currently underway executing a standard submarine operations. That's as much as I'm actually allowed to talk about it. The Navy is very quiet on submarine operations and how they handle their underways. But I do have some great information as well that Xcel Energy, as you know, a key company here in Minnesota, donated 152 quarter-zip pullovers with the USS Minnesota logo on it. And that's great support from the state of Minnesota. That's a tremendous morale builder. And the reason they did it is one of the vice presidents at Xcel is a submarine veteran, and he understands that standard operations, the boat, it runs at about 62 to 65 degrees because of all the equipment that can overheat. And so guys are wearing, in the middle of the summer when they're underway, they're wearing additional clothing to stay warm.
Yeah, it's always
so
great to have.
That happened recently.
It's always great to have that wonderful support from the local community. And I understand there's other good news. I understand that the USS Minnesota received an award recently. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I can. Let me recap something. In 2019, they received the award for the finest ship in the Atlantic Fleet. That's called the Battenberg Cup. Normally, submarines don't win that, but they competed with over 100 ships in the Atlantic Fleet and earned the best, the top award for the entire fleet and award. What they've won recently is the 2020 Battle Efficiency Award for the squadron. And they continue to maintain that, and their squadron's made up of somewhere to 6 to 8 boats, and they have won that in 3 of the last 4 years. So it's a tremendous, tremendous award. It shows the efficiency that has come under the command climate. There's a culture on board of success, and we continue to win one of the key awards for the squadron, and we're so proud of them for maintaining that culture of success and that culture of winning and culture of excellence.
Yeah, that is definitely one thing feel from the state of Minnesota as we do continue to have a lot of success in all the things we do from each of our military branches. Now, Brian, if people want to support, if our listeners want to support the Minnesota Navy League or even get involved with some of these adopted warships, how could they go about doing that? What would you direct them to do?
Well, we have a website at NavyLeagueMN.org. Again, NavyLeagueMN.org. And on that, there is a contact us capability. We also have in the upper right-hand corner a link to the commissioning site for LCS-21. And so you can get information on all of that. We also have, in fairness, we have a donation. We have the ability to, folks have the ability to donate right on that website as well. And that can be earmarked directly for the commissioning efforts that we have. And again, as I said earlier, 100% of the funds that are donated go to the event because we're all volunteers.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Brian. Again, NavyLeagueMN.org if our listeners would like to get more information or donate. Brian, thanks so much for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks for having me again, and I so appreciate the support.
Thank you, Doug. Joining me now is Greg Peterson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. Greg, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's always good to be with you.
Greg, I understand you want to talk today about the UVLC Veterans Wellness Survey. What in the world is that, and why is it important?
Well, I was thinking about this, and we always talked about buddy checks, you know, over the past year, making sure our buddies are okay. And this is really kind of an electronic buddy check, letting veterans and veterans' families participate in a Minnesota Veterans Wellness Survey to find out how veterans are doing.
And what are the underlying circumstances that are driving a survey now? What are you trying to do and why now?
Well, over the past 5 years, 500 veterans have died by suicide, and that's just a terrible loss. And we in the veterans organizations and in state leadership, we want to find out from the veterans themselves answers to questions like this. We throw a lot of ideas around and think this will be good for a veteran or that'll be good for a veteran, but we never really ask the veteran, what do you think? And that's what we want to do with this survey.
So we want to get some direct feedback from the veterans on the survey, and what would be the possible, the best survey outcomes that you can imagine?
Well, the outcomes that we can use after it's analyzed will help us in government to put forth better legislative bills. It will also help the public sector, like Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, or all the other nonprofits that are out there to support veterans and their families, just to better understand what is needed. It's, I guess you would call it a, you know, data analysis and a fact-based information instead of just guessing on things. I even want to say, you know, a year ago we got $6.2 million from the governor for veterans COVID relief, and that was just really kind of a guess, and yeah, it did help a lot of veterans, but if they had some of this information ahead of time, they might have been able to better target that money.
So we want to get as many veterans as possible in Minnesota to take this survey, the UVLC Veterans Wellness Survey, find out what's bothering them, see what we can do to help. Where can people find the survey, and how can they participate?
Well, it's online, and we said MNUVLC.org stands for the Minnesota United Veterans Legislative Council. It's on their website, and it's live right now, and we'd like to have as many people take it as possible. MNUVLC.org.
Very good. MNUVLC.org. Greg, we're coming up on the Memorial Day weekend. Is there something or someone that you think about over Memorial Day?
Yeah, I sure do. I think about this often around Memorial Day. It's my father, born in 1909, too young for World War I, too old for World War II. He was farming, an only son. But he always took us, our family, to every Memorial Day event to drive home the fact about all of our neighbors that gave their lives. We would drive around and he would say, that guy died on the USS Arizona, or, you know, Jim's missing his left hand because he lost it in the war. My dad was very proud of the fact that our neighbors contributed towards ending the war in the Pacific and in Europe. And I go every Memorial Day myself. I'll be standing in a flag line this Memorial Day in Lafayette, Minnesota.
Greg, great family tradition, and Memorial Day is all about remembering those we've lost. So thanks for sharing that story with us. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
I'm always happy to be here. Thank you, Tom.
That was Greg Peterson, president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Brown County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Todd Kemmery from Minnesota's PVA, Brian Scott, Minnesota Navy League, Greg Peterson from the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, and my guest host, Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about bipartisan efforts to support our veterans in the U.S. House of Representatives and get the latest on education benefits for our service members and veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at Minnesota MilitaryRadio.com.